East Main Furniture in Eastleigh, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Eastleigh, or call 864-4426-054 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
It's time for Out of Bounds.
Two beauties!
With William Quackenbush.
Slow your roll. The show goes till three, loser.
And Ben Milstead.
My gosh, we need an intervention for you.
Be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson. Touchdown! Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out on the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold.
Clemson's going to the Elite Eight.
Out of Bounds.
The center fielder at the wall.
It's out of here! It's out of here!
Got the distance, doesn't have the accuracy.
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar. On a Monday, September 8th, 2025. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead, live inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. Just a pleasant good morning. Just a pleasant good morning, pleasant good afternoon. Appreciate you guys making us a part of your post-weekend Monday. And love to hear from you. 654-ROARS, the number, open phones throughout the show. 654-7627 on the phones, on the Adams and Co. Roofing text line. Of course, we're going to break down a jam-packed football weekend, college NFL, in Clemson-Troy, as you can imagine. Ben Milstead, the happiest of Mondays to you, sir. How are we feeling today?
Happy Monday to you. I'm great. Hope you are, too. Good
I'm
weekend
doing well.
For you.
Good weekend. Solid weekend. Can I tell you something? I was thinking about, I have to prep for the best thing I saw this weekend. There was so much that I just enjoyed this weekend. I just had the most enjoyment watching football the last 3 days. Glorious. Absolutely glorious. And I was thinking after the Bills-Ravens game ended last night, I was like, when's the last time I had this much fun? Like in the opening weekend of the NFL, where it's not like the college from Thursday to Monday, Labor Day. That one's going to be fun, I think, of its own right. But like it's week two college, which generally isn't as good of a slate. And it's week one of the NFL, where like last year, it was just blowouts galore. It just wasn't, there weren't even any good games. I had such a fun time this weekend watching football. It brought joy to my heart.
You and I are going to... I already know that we're in agreement on several things today. That would be one of them as well. In fact, I had a backup best thing I saw this weekend because my answer was going to be just football. Just all of it. Best thing you saw, football.
And it was good. I mean, and one of the things that I think was a benefit to us, I'm going to make a 1% comment with my pinky in the air. Are you ready? Clemson has an hour and a half weather delay, and a lot of y'all were just like shelter in place, man. You're just trying to wear it. You're at back of the car or whatever. We got to watch a lot of games during that. Like more than we normally would in the 3:30 slate. So we got to see, and you know, you're kind of, instead of your game winding down the same time everybody else's game's winding down because of the delay, we got to see the South Florida finish.
Right.
We got to see a lot of Kansas, Missouri, Ole Miss, Kentucky. we got to see more of those games than I would have thought. And so I feel like I have better thoughts about that game without needing a full rewatch than I otherwise would have had.
You're kind of rubbing it into people, though. You and I had two TVs and two computers available to us. we were not standing in a portal somewhere, but anyway. Yeah, you know, I'm not the biggest NFL fan on the planet. Long way from it, but through this opening weekend, I've just enjoyed the NFL more than I remember in the past. I really have. Sometimes I have to kind of ease into it. But I mean, there were good games everywhere in this opening weekend. And the opening weekend last week with college football was the same thing. I felt like there are a lot of similarities there.
Just to recap, coming down to the final possession, okay? These were the games that came down the final possession yesterday. Cardinals-Saints, Raiders-Patriots, Steelers-Jets, Bengals-Browns, Bucks-Falcons, Niners-Seahawks, Broncos-Titans, Rams-Texans, Bills-Ravens. Just yesterday. Came down to the final possession. And that's not even including... what I thought was a fun game, if you just like sort of, ooh, boy, didn't see that coming in Packers-Lions. Like, I didn't say that game. I didn't talk about Jags-Panthers, which I thought was fun, especially if you have been waiting on the Jaguars to click. I wouldn't say the Jaguars were great by any means, but Travis Etienne turned like a 5-yard run into 70 with some old-school Etienne stuff. Oh, it was
beautiful. Yeah, they certainly clicked more than they did last year. And Trevor Lawrence had that rhythm about him again. Made some really difficult throws. You know, missed some too, like anybody. But that was an entertaining game. And you know, and I mean, I don't want to get too deep into it yet. But even for the Panthers, I mean, you lose 26-10. I thought there were some positive things about their team, though.
I did too.
And their offense, they just couldn't finish drives, but they showed some signs of life.
I thought if you were a fan of a team yesterday, almost across the board, that you're not mailing the season in. There are about six teams that I would say you're raising alarm bells. Heck, my quarterback, Daniel Jones.
Daniel freaking Jones.
What happened to Daniel Jones? Danny Dimes throwing dimes all over the field to everybody. It was glorious.
Quark's team is 1-0 for the first time in 11 seasons.
I felt bad. I felt really bad because poor Zach Orr watched Daniel Jones just absolutely blow oats for years. He has to watch the Colts drop 33 the same day that his football team, the New York Football Giants, scored 6 against the Commanders. And not only that, but like Geno Smith. Like, nobody wants Geno Smith. Geno Smith is playing well. Like, these quarterbacks that just got cast aside, they're all playing well. Aaron Rodgers and Justin Fields are basically traded for each other, and they were electric. That I was like, oh, this is a recipe for a 15-12 game. This is going to be like the old Chris Berman Swami scores, where I'm like, no game ends like that, Berman. It's not going to be 12-5. Stop guessing 12-5. I was like, that could be 12-5. And we got 34-32, where they're just marching down the field in succession with each other. Like, Aaron Rodgers, like, all our Steelers fans in the building, all the Steelers fans in the audience. First time a Steelers quarterback since COVID has had 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in a game. First time in 5 years. Just remarkable stuff. I mean, remarkable.
I didn't watch it, but we did it. We even had Major League Baseball this weekend, too. I wonder how many college football teams and pro football teams the Mariners outscored thanks to the Braves.
Let's see.
Iowa State, they outscored both of them.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, just yesterday.
Just yesterday, yeah.
What have you talking about? The first two games. They scored. How many times do you say there was a team that scored 29 runs in 3 games and got absolutely dealt against in the opener?
Yeah, and I was just talking about yesterday, you know, 18-2.
Let's see, 28 points. I mean, Ben?
A lot.
Clemson had a hard time getting to 28 Saturday.
Yep.
very difficult to do, shall we say. Let's put pen to paper here. What was the best thing you saw this weekend?
I truly was going to go with just football, but one of the more doesn't have anything to do with the grand scheme of anything, but I just thought it was funny. Did you hear Deion Sanders' nickname for his third-string quarterback?
Yes.
Ryan Staub, third, I think it's pronounced Staub,
third-string
quarterback, comes in, completes 70% of his passes, like 156 yards passing. They played three quarterbacks there. And Staub says that he had a dream that he was going to, you know, basically how the game was going to go. So Coach Sanders nicknames him Martin Luther Staub. To the point that there are people on Twitter who really think he is named Martin Luther Staub.
Shut up.
I saw someone say, I mean, that's cool and all, but who would name their kid Martin Luther Staub? Martin Luther and use both names. I'm like, dude, it's a joke. His name's Ryan.
There are people that name their kid like King. I mean, like it's a high bar. You can't suck at life and be named King, okay? I mean, first name, not last name. Naming your kid Martin Luther anything is a high bar, but let's not act like people don't just, like, project greatness on their kid. Like, the whole Old Testament is like, you're going to be awesome, and I know because I called you this. That's the whole Old Testament of the Bible. Or, like, I feel like this kid's going to kind of suck a little, so we're going to name him, like, lazy donkey or whatever. Like, that. Like that's the Old Testament. Like, I know how your life's going to go, and we know because of what your name is. Martin Luther Staub rolls off the tongue for real.
some of the text on the Faxon said, imagine having a unique and stupid name, guys. Can't imagine. That you're not in that category.
No, I would not say that.
And you're named after Brad Faxon. I mean, that's not a bad name at all. I like Faxon.
You don't think little Acuñas are going to be playing in the Little League World Series in 9 years?
Listen, big fan of Martin Luther King. I'm not going to name my kid Martin Luther.
Just not doing it. Too high a bar. Too high a bar.
Right.
The best thing I saw this weekend, Ben, there are two. Actually, I have three, and the third one is underdog, okay? The first one is, did you see the kicking promotion in Kansas, Missouri? Did you see this?
I did not.
Oh, my God. Ben, this is hysterical. All right. I've said this before. I have friends who have been lifelong Clemson fans who would rather see South Carolina lose than Clemson win, who get more fired up for South Carolina losing than Clemson winning. My whole life, I don't understand it because I'm not like that. I'm not built that way. But many of y'all out there are like that. And there are South Carolina fans who would rather see Clemson lose than South Carolina win. You would rather revel in the tears of your rival than you would celebrate your own team's success. That, again, like I said, I'm not saying you should do that. That is not how I'm wired, but that is how people are. I don't know anybody that would put $25,000 in a blender to troll their rival. And yet, that's what happened in Kansas, Missouri, okay? So they have this promotion. You make, I think it's like a 38-yard field goal or something. Like, it's a long field goal. And if you make it, you win $25,000. The student on the field, this is a Missouri student, okay, is on the field to kick. He takes his shirt off before the kick. His shirt says FKU, okay? It actually says F, not the word. But it says FKU. He turns and kicks the ball at the Kansas sideline. And he said, I knew I wasn't going to make the field goal, but all I wanted to do was hit the Kansas players.
That's awesome.
You could have $25,000 and you threw it away just to hit a Kansas player who, by the way, they're largely wearing helmets and pads. They're not even going to feel that football. It makes no sense whatsoever that you could do that. And yet that is what rivalries are about. That's number one. Number two, anytime any team does something that makes people not leave the game early so that you can point to that and say, remember that play that one time? Remember that game that one time? Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills almost sent me to bed last night at 40-25 And yet I thought, you know what? I've got Josh Allen on a fantasy team. I've got some underdog action with Derrick Henry. Let's just see how this goes. Let's see how this goes. By the way, let me just tell you how it went. Derrick Henry carried the ball 18 times. The underdog number was 17.5. James Cook needed to score one rushing and receiving touchdown. He did that. And after a week of getting wiped out, I mean, I got my clock clean on underdog. I won a significant amount for me with those two plays last night. Proud of Derrick Henry for the 18th carry. Proud of Baltimore for giving him the ball the 18th time. And I'm proud of James Cook for finding the end zone. And you, too, can enjoy a weekend with underdog. Just like that. You can enjoy Monday Night Football with underdog. For as little as a dollar, you can win as much as $5,000. All season long. It's great. It's the best place to make picks. All you do is pick higher or lower on your favorite player stats. Touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, etc. Again, I've enjoyed playing underdog all week. I was this close like three times and just something like one catch somewhere. Like I had somebody who was over a yardage and then they got stopped for a loss. And it was just a mess this weekend. But I enjoyed every second of it. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing. Get terms underscore DFS underscore dot HTML for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit ncpgambling.org.
Can I give you an honorable mention on best things I saw?
Yes.
Fran Brown making his players run wind sprints after needing overtime to beat UConn. That took me back to my high school days for all the wrong reasons, man.
You know
been
what?
Been there, done that.
I appreciate that Fran Brown was like, I get to shower, but y'all got to wait some. We're going to run, but we're going to make y'all smell real bad before we all take showers. Stay with us. We continue on with hour one. Our opening thoughts, our big picture thoughts on Clemson-Troy. Love to hear from you on that as well when we come back for more after this.
What would you do if you had a little bit more money to do it?
I'd go to law school.
I'd open a bakery.
I'd travel to visit my grandparents I haven't seen in 10 years.
We all have things we want to do in life, and there are people who want to help you do them. So how do we best ask for that help? GoFundMe. GoFundMe is the number one fundraising platform. 200 million people have used GoFundMe to support people doing things like furthering their education, starting a small business, or bringing people together in support of a cause. No matter what your goals are, GoFundMe helps you take an important step toward them. GoFundMe is free to set up and manage, easy to use, and designed to help you reach your goals.
The community was so supportive in helping me finally open my bakery. Now every day I wake up and get to do what I love. And it all started with GoFundMe.
What would you do if you had the money to do it? Get started today with GoFundMe. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com/power. That's GoFundMe.com/power. GoFundMe.com/POWER. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe with actors voicing experiences inspired by our users.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell and Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we have represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
55 Beatty Place, Suite 900, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Scott Trout, licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Georgia only. CordellCordell.com.
It's time to give your lawn the attention it deserves with Carolina Top Dressing. Is your fescue looking thin? Our expert fescue overseeding service paired with aeration is just what you need. But here's the secret. Without top dressing, much of that precious seed goes to waste. Why? Because seed needs soil contact to grow. At Carolina Top Dressing, we make sure every seed finds its place, whether it's in the aeration holes or covered by our premium top dressing mix. Don't let your investment go to waste. Visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to book your service today.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams, from framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today and let's build dreams together.
Ever tried calling an insurance company after a wreck or work injury? Press 1 for confusion, press 2 for excuses, press 3 to never speak to a human again. I'm Trey Mills with the Tramwin Mills Law Firm, and we don't play those games. If you've been injured, we take on the insurance company so you don't have to. You focus on the healing, and we'll handle the headaches. Call 864-485-8585 or visit us at tram1mills.com. We don't let them mess around and get away with it.
It's football season, but don't forget the real MVPs in your life. Score big with a stunning gift from Turner's Jewelers. From custom diamond studs to an eye-catching necklace, we'll help you make the right play with our jewelry. And when it's time to say, I do, let our experts help design your own championship-worthy ring. Family-owned and trusted for generations, Turner's brings all-star service and southern charm. Visit us in Seneca's Applewood Shopping Center or at turnersjewelers.com. Turner's Jewelers, a winning experience from start to finish.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina.
Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper,
Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News,
and Mark Sturges from ESPN Upstate.
Straight Up Sports is about the stories,
just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved.
Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from A&PM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to A&PM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Travelers Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
Hey there. You hear that? Right, you don't. That's what it's like to order food for your workplace with Easy Cater. No hold music while you wait to place your order. No tap-tapping as you type in special dietary instructions or long, complicated searches for options in your budget. No crinkling of paper receipts. Just...
Dang, these are some tasty sandwiches.
Easy Cater, the better way to order food for work. Order now at EasyCater.com.
From kickoff to cash out, ESPN Bet has the tools you need to score more on game days. Bet smarter with stats at your fingertips. Get personalized parlays built just for you. And with your fantasy team synced right in the app, you can back your squad. Right now, new customers get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $10. Sign up with promo code USL to get started. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
All right, hour number one continues out of bounds. William Quagmire, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us on the program. We're going to Darren in Pickens in just one second. First, let me tell you about our friends at Tiger Sports Shop. This is that time of year where you really, you're kind of making some adjustments, you know. I got to be honest, if you were out at the, if you were tailgating when the storm came through before the game, I was out with my parents. That 10-minute storm that blew through, where it was rain, it was a good amount of rain, and then the wind came, you might have lost a tent. You might have lost a table. My sister was like, where's the top to my jar of salsa? Like, just blew away. Like, we're just losing everything. Everything was on the ground. It was a disaster. It was absolutely a nightmare. And so you might need to regroup this weekend. You might need a different caliber of tailgate here. It might be a chance to refresh a little bit. Tiger Sports Shop has everything you need for your tailgate. Tents. They got all the, like, the tablecloths and, like, the dishes and all. Like, you can make that tailgate nice again. Or you can just clean all the stuff, you know. I hate cleaning, so I'm probably just going to Tiger Sports Shop. Two locations, downtown Clemson, Highway 123, always open at tigersports.com. Let's go to Darren for Pickens, who joins us next on the phones. What's up, Darren?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. Thanks for getting in.
All right. Thank you so much. Calling in, you know, as a Carolina fan, but at the same time, you know, I'm glad both teams won, and I'm probably not one that would say that, you know, as a Carolina fan. But I am glad for this, the sake of this state that they both won, and I hope they both do well, but go Gamecocks. But I tell you what, I'm so, so frustrated and disappointed with both of them. They look horrible, man. You know, I picked 48-10 Carolina over South Carolina State, but it was much beyond that. It was like there was like no offensive fireworks whatsoever, hardly. And Clemson just got shut down by Troy in the first half, especially. So I don't even know what to think anymore.
You know, so. I agree with this, okay? Because I do think one of the things that we can do when we have tunnel vision on a team or a group of teams is that we sort of we think that the you know what's going on around the country is different from what's going on with us. And Darren, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I mean, I agree with what Darren's saying. I talked to South Carolina fans at church yesterday that were frustrated as all get out too. They beat South Carolina State 38-10, and they were down like midway through the second quarter. All right, it was. They also had that they didn't have the start and stop, but they had a way delayed start. A lot of people probably went home or didn't come. Like it was bad. It was bad weather. Like they had in Clemson before the game. I do think, like, they were not alone, though. Like, LSU, very muddled game against Louisiana Tech. It's not, I mean, you can look at pockets. There were some teams that were great, great, great. Like, had played big games last week and then came out soaring. Florida State came out soaring against East Texas A&M. Georgia Tech dropped 59 on Gardner Webb with their backup quarterback. Like, there were some teams that didn't sort of stoop to the level of competition. But I did think it was interesting that there were some teams that just didn't look very good that played big-time openers. And I wonder if there is something to that, you know, if you start with kind of a cupcake, it's easier to get up for week one. You know, you're not coming out sleepy for week one, but when you get up for a big game, maybe there is a little bit of that sleepwalk that naturally creeps in. I don't know. I'm trying to put pieces together there.
It did happen in several games. There was also several that it did not happen in. But, I mean, you're right. It did happen in several. In this case, I don't really care about that as it relates to Clemson. I really don't. If everybody in the nation slept walk, I don't think there's any – I just don't think there's an excuse for the way they played in the first half. I just don't. So, but to your point – yeah, there were several of those.
I don't think there's a good excuse.
Not name the Florida State. Yeah, we're not talking to you right now. Go stand in the corner.
Yeah, I mean like Georgia.
Go score another touchdown.
You know, Georgia had weather delays too. Like they 28-6 against Austin Peay.
Yeah.
You know, like Penn State against FIU. Like they scored two touchdowns late. That was a 20-0 game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, listen, if it was 17-10 at halftime in favor of Clemson, I might have said, okay, yeah, you know, just a lazy start. You truly were beaten badly in the first half. And it did not look flukish. So in this particular case, I just don't care. I just don't care. You know, I don't care who your personnel was. I don't care about the weather. There's just no excuse for the way that first half looked. And, you know, you certainly looked – I mean, the third quarter was great, but fourth quarter wasn't great either.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't as bad as the first two quarters. But anyway, yeah, that's sort of where I'm at, if that's any indication. That's sort of where I'm at on this game.
The one thing that Clemson fans, I think, can be a little grumpier about and really, like, mean it is, like, if you're South Carolina, you probably felt okay about the way your team played last week. If you're Georgia, you probably felt – I mean, I don't know if it was Marshall, but you probably felt okay about the way your team – like, LSU felt great about the way their team played last week. And Clemson has yet to feel good about the way their team played.
Yeah. Let's talk about Clemson for a moment. because, again, in this case, I don't care about other teams. What is your number one concern after two games for this team?
It is that this is a game that you should have been able to show up and call four plays in the first half and win individual matchups, and you were losing everywhere. Plain and simple. That is my takeaway. Like,
is there a person? Is there a position group? Is there a coach, though? I mean, if I said, William Quackenbush, you can fix one thing on Clemson football today, what would that one thing be?
Cade Klubnik in the last two first quarters has looked very tentative and unsure. Something named Goose Crowder outplayed him in the first half Saturday.
You put some respect on Goose. He's named after Top Gun for crying out loud.
But how is there not a Justified character named Goose Crowder? I'm about halfway through Justified. Boyd Crowder is the villain in that show. There's no way he doesn't have a relative named Goose.
So in particular about Cade, like, what is it?
It is his indecisiveness. And I think there's a trickle down and a lack of confidence across the board on offense because he is not confident to start these games. The first series, Ben, on third down, he has Bryant Wesco open on a square in. Now, I'm watching that side of the play because there was motion out there with Randall, and I'm going, okay, are they dropping a safety down? Are they going to roll coverage? Or what are they going to do? They really didn't change the coverage look at all. It was a base coverage look. They were running sticks coverage. There was a middle linebacker whose feet were stuck in cement that became a factor in the play because when the square in, and Cade is looking that side, he's looking right, because when the receiver crosses the nickel corner, Cade waits for him to get to the hash, and there was no reason for him to wait to get to the hash. And if you watch the play, I'm pretty sure it was Wesco. Wesco actually narrows his route trying not to get to the linebacker, but he's thrown that way. There were a number of those. There was a mesh pattern on the next series after the delay where T.J. Moore catches a ball, and you're going, why are you throwing at the line of scrimmage? Well, T.J. Moore was 3 yards in front of the line of scrimmage, but Cade threw it late, and he had to come back to catch the ball. He actually, if he throws him in stride, he's going to get a first down. Goose Crowder, we both saw this at the same time. You turn around and said it to me, I'm thinking the same thing. He throws that rope down the left sideline in the first half, over the top of the corner in cover two, and then underneath the safety. And you looked at me and said, he just uncorked the ball that Clemson's quarterback is not throwing. And that's my concern. This is a game where you have to win individual matchups. People are mad as rip at the offensive line. They're mad as rip at Garrett Riley. We can talk about offensive line all day, because I had issues with them too. But to me, this is a game where the point of the game is we're going to run four plays in the first half. And you are T.J. Moore and Bryant Wesco and Tyler Brown and Olsen Pat Henry and all you offensive linemen are 4 and 5 stars. Go win your matchups against Troy. This is a 4-win Troy team. This is not a game where you should have had to scheme a win. You should have been able to be so basic, so vanilla, and then your quarterback just make the right reads and make the right throws and allow guys to make plays. And I just felt like there was no confidence exuding from anyone offensively until the second half. That is a problem, because that's the second straight game that I could say that I just did not feel. I felt like this offense is on eggshells at the start of games, and I do not know why that is, other than the quarterback has to sit there in the huddle and go, the first play, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, I'm going to give it to you, you're going to get a first down, and we're going to go. That's it to me in a nutshell.
Our answers on the only answers we've gotten on the text line, and we've gotten it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 times, is the offensive line. We'll get to that. I am much more in your camp on the offensive line this week than maybe I was last week. My answer to my question to you would also be Cade, and we're probably going to say the same thing, but for me, it's just the timing of Cade Klubnik. It's not how he throws the ball. And you said the confidence of Cade. If you're not confident, that's going to impact your timing. So I think we're maybe saying the same thing here. But I think it all starts right there. I do. Because there were plays, in watching it again yesterday, Just like against LSU, there were plays to be had where you throw that ball 1 second earlier or look off a safety and, you know, make the right read. And it just all comes down to timing with him, in my opinion. And he's just not confident, to your point, in making – he's not confident to throw someone open.
He was in the second half, by the way. Yeah. Whatever changed, he was in. He was doing some of that in the second half, and I was glad to see that.
And listen, you can back me up on this. For those that don't know, for home games, Kwok and I basically watch the game together. He sits right behind me in the radio booth and just breathes on the back of my neck.
I'm just lingering and loitering. Those are my jobs in the first half, and loiter.
It's good that, you know, we bounce things off of each other. Anyway, like a lot of people as you're watching a game live, I'm down on the play calling. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I thought it was bad. But then sometimes your first reaction is not always the best reaction. And I watch it again yesterday, and I'm really focusing more on Cade. And I'm thinking, if I am Garrett Riley, and I am calling the plays, why would I call more complex plays when my quarterback is struggling with the simple plays? I'm not turning to page 2 of the playbook when I feel like he's struggling with page 1. And listen, for me, the jury's still out a little bit on Garrett Riley at Clemson, but we have seen a better version of Garrett Riley from play calling. What has changed? The personnel has changed since he's been here from TCU. I mean, he looked like a better play caller. Let's just call it
he
like
sure
it
did.
Is.
Yeah.
At TCU, he also had perhaps better players or more experienced players anyway in his system there. So I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on the Garrett Riley thoughts, at least for me, and saying let's see him. Let's see Cade Klubnik be really good at what you are calling. Let's see Cade be able to throw a pass that he could have underhand tossed to the tallest receiver on the field, and he throws it at his feet for a walk-in touchdown. Let's see him be able to do some of those things before I start criticizing the play calling.
Correct. 100% agree with that. We'll go to the phones when we come back. More thoughts on Clemson, particularly offensively. 654 Roars, and we'll read a couple texts as well. Hour one continues right after this.
Bob, you're a Clemson alum just like I am.
That's right, Ginger. I'm glad we struck up a friendship at Everlawn Independent Living.
Gosh, yes. Thank goodness we found Everlawn. Chef-prepared meals, housekeeping, and a fun schedule of activities like cards, movies, and parties. We can even catch a Tigers game or a show at the Brooks Center.
It's a sweet life, Ginger. Comfort, community, and Clemson pride.
I think we both agree. Everlawn Independent Living is where we belong.
Yay, Everlawn. Go Tigers.
Learn more today at everlawnliving.com.
Summer is winding down, but not our killer savings for outdoor furniture at the Craft Stove Store and Patio. Now is the perfect time to update your outdoor space with patio furniture. Choose from Tapatone, Summer Classics, Hanneman, Lloyd Flanders, Breezesta, and Palm Springs Raton Outdoor Furniture. Hurry! Shop and save now at the Craft Stove Store and Patio, located 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard. Check us out online at craftstovestore.com.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Premier Portable Buildings and Trailers are right in your backyard. Looking to gain space in your home, a shed is a great way to make room. And if you need to transport your gear, we have a trailer to meet your needs. With two locations to serve you, Sheds of Spartanburg and Sheds of Welford. Visit shedsofspartanburg.com or shedsofwelford.com, where you can view our entire inventory of sheds and trailers. Call today, 864-652-1660, or visit 1470 Boiling Springs Road, Spartanburg, or 321 Spartanburg Highway, Welford today.
Carolina legends aren't born. They're handmade in Bo's Real Southern Kitchen. We marinate our chicken for 24 hours in a blend of bold Southern seasonings. Then we hand bread and fry it to crispy, juicy perfection. And that's why they call us the Carolina legend. It's Bo time.
Hey, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. Tiger Town to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
At Toyota of Easley, now is the best time to get a closeout deal on the last remaining new 2024 Toyota Tacomas or get a new 2025 Toyota Tundra or Tacoma with financing rates as low as 1.99%. With Norris-built accessories, you can also have your truck customized your way, any make or model handled by certified Toyota technicians. Call 864-855-2233. Visit toyotaofeasley.com or stop by for a test drive today on Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley.
As an independent business owner, you're the expert in your field, but you may not have the time or resources to stay on top of tax forms and payments. Let David Green help you get back on track. With his expertise, he can implement the best IRS programs to resolve any tax issues you face. Whether it's with the IRS or South Carolina state taxes, call us today at 271-7940 or visit greenlaw.legal for a free consultation to discuss your situation.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176 or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Part A, Part B, Supplement, Advantage, Part D. It's enough to make your head spin. Don't worry, we've got you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
The upstate leader in sports by day. Worldwide leader in sports by night. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We continue on here on the program. Appreciate you joining us here on Out of Bounds. This hour of the program is brought to you in part by our friends at PhD Weight Loss. I've said this many times. I'm reminded of it every single week when I go to the tailgate, when I'm in the press box. My eating habits have changed thanks to PhD Weight Loss. And you know what? It is truly like eating habits of decades of life that have led to a health crisis, not just in our country broadly and impersonally, but to individuals, to maybe some of you, to your family, to your friends, to people you care about. And the way out is not pharmaceuticals. The way out is not pills and shots that cost a fortune, and then you have to be on them the rest of your life, or the weight bounces right back on. No, it's better when you have natural solutions to natural problems, and that's what it is. Like Ozempic is an unnatural solution, a pharmaceutical solution to a natural problem. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team at PhD Weight Loss, they can help you naturally regulate that in your body with the way that you eat and how you think about food, and pairing that with exercise is different for everybody. They have a great process that is, you can customize to your specific needs, but it gets real, real results. If you're on Ozempic, you're on a drug you want to transition off, you want to start your weight loss journey, call them today, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com. I did feel like in the second half, and I can't prove this, but I did feel like in the second half, they did open up the playbook a little bit. Dabo said multiple times that they changed their blocking schemes and the types of run plays that they used to try to they went away from zone stuff and more gap scheme because of some of the twists and some of the games. He said they were picking the center and not allowing the center to get where he needed to go. And so they had to change some of that at halftime. So, I mean, if you're mad at the coaches, they made an adjustment to the way they ran the ball, and it clearly worked, which that's the other part of the frustration is the things they did after some time had passed. You could say they had two half times to figure it out. But after some time had passed, they made some adjustments, and they did establish the run in the second half.
Yeah, well, the other thing that helped the offensive line is that Clemson just got played a lot more rhythm with their offense. There were quicker passes. They didn't have to hold stuff as long. I mean, that was part of it. But the offensive line did play better in that stretch there in the second half. Yeah, they certainly did, and especially run blocking.
I would agree. What is there something in your mind? We'll go to the phones. We got Delvin and Paul and Ray. We'll get to you here in this segment. Is there something in your mind about Clemson trying to, and I know with Parks' injury, they're trying to rotate guys, and like Sadler was out there at tackle and Jacobs was out at tackle, and they were doing some different things. How much of it is just that they're almost trying on purpose not to settle on an offensive line just to see what they have right now?
Well, you did have Parks back, but it felt like an odd grouping sometimes. Brandon Jacobs played some, and just listen, there's no doubt that kid's going to be awesome. He's not there yet. I mean, he came in and just got absolutely abused. I mean, I'm sorry, he did, and the guys around him didn't do much to help him either. And you're moving Sadler around a little bit, and Sewell's in and out, and it was an odd grouping, but it still feels like the offensive line made mistakes that no matter who was in the game, they shouldn't be making these mistakes.
You saw older players.
You saw older players. You should not be making these mistakes.
There's one play that just, it was so prominent that I rewound it three times just to make sure I was looking at it right. And if there's one thing that I'm not going to do is I'm not going to definitively tell you that the offensive line didn't do something right, because you saw 58 people doing that on Twitter last week, and I just disagreed with about 56 of those people, okay? There was one play in particular, and it was not the only time in the first half, where somebody would tackle Adam Randall. For the record, I thought Adam Randall ran fine in the first half when he had opportunities. He fumbled the football there at the end of his first down run, but that was a good, tough run. I don't have any issues really with how Randall is running the football. But there's going to be a 30-yard run, folks, on like a stretch play to the outside. I mean, it's just a run to the right. I think it's a first and 10 play. And it ends up being a one-yard gain. And if you look, there's a third-level defender of safety that comes down in the box. There are two offensive linemen who are blocking the same second-level defender, and the safety runs right by them both and makes the tackle. And he's the only guy unaccounted for on the play. And if somebody just flick him, just like make him take a half-step false, Adam Randall's going to have 30 yards. It's those kinds of things that are frustrating, because you look at who's on the field and it's not Braden Jacobs and, Rowan Byrne. Like, it's not like freshman offensive linemen out there that are doing this. That to me is a little bit troubling when you're trying to run zone stuff and the guys who are getting to the next level, like, it's almost like there's just not cohesion. Two guys have the same idea. One of them should have just kicked out one time, hit the safety with one arm, and Randall's got 30 yards.
Yeah, it just – and I do think the personnel, who you had on there together, maybe had something to do with it. But, again, some of it really just looks like basic offensive line knowledge that these guys just were not clicking for some reason. And I was slow to the party on the offensive line after the LSU game, because I in the LSU game, I do think some of that, a lot of that was actually on Cade, not on the offensive line. In this one, however, and you look at the totality of the two games, I think you're way justified to have some concerns about the offensive line. And maybe you do have to change up the scheme if they're more comfortable with one scheme versus another. Maybe that's what you have to do for a while now, here, until things get better.
Adam Randall averaged 5 yards a carry on Saturday. You give me 5 yards a carry. I mean, there's no, like, take the top off the defense runs. But I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, you know, in his first big run there in the second half, Josh Sapp actually, if I remember right, threw a really nice block that sort of sprung that. By the way, he started the game. And we'll get to the tight ends, but, I mean, Olsen Pat Henry starts game one. Josh Sapp starts game two. I thought Sapp played well. But there's one pass, one target to the tight end. So we'll talk about that part later.
Let's go to Delvin, who's up with us next. 654 Roy is the number. What's up, Delvin? Thanks for your patience.
No problem, man. Come on. Good thing I heard this again. How about the Blue Hose, man? Two in a row, man. Oh, worse than out for me.
Yeah, I mean, beat Mercer and Furman. They're going to win the SoCon this year.
Yeah. And then, man, you talking about, what USF is doing, man. They got a chance to beat, they beat Boise State, now Florida, now you got a chance to go to Miami on the road. And, man, you better be careful. You saw what happened with Florida. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree, Delvin. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Is there anybody with a better resume, just real quick, than South Florida so far? Boise State and Florida wins, and then
no.
Has there been a better game ever on the CW than South Florida Miami?
No. let's stay on Clemson right now, though.
Yeah,
appreciate the call. Dan.
Let's for sure do that. Let's go to Paul and Enery is up with us next. What's up, Paul?
Hey guys, I know nobody wants to hear this, but I remember in 2011 we played Troy. And the guy in front of me gets up and says, we're losing at halftime. The guy gets up in front of me and says, I'm not never coming back. We got a high school coach and all this kind of stuff. Then I remember 2016, I think we beat them 30-24 or something like that, 6 points. I mean, it seems like they get up for us. And I'm not going to quit on this team now, because I remember 2016 – that team struggled going down the stretch. I think a lot of their games of win was 7 points or less or something like that, and that was a championship team. I'm not giving up on this team. I mean, they come off a huge disappointing loss. Then you go sit in the locker room for an hour and a half. And, you know, it's hard. I'm sure it's hard for them to come back out there an hour and a half. And then they come back and took care of business in the second half. I think too many people are jumping off, and they don't realize it seems like Troy always gets up for us. Because as soon as I knew I was playing Troy this year, I said to myself, it's going to be a tough one, and people laughed at me. You know, but anyway, I just don't, you know, and you said something about, you know, I think people in Columbia should be feeling pretty good, but they're only averaging 17 points a game on offense. I mean, I don't understand that statement you made while ago, Crock said. I can understand Clemson, you know, Clemson people being that kind of set. But darn, they were down. What were they up, 10-3 at half? And then their offense is only averaging 17 points a game, which they're supposed to be. I think both teams right now are down, but I wouldn't give up on any one of them.
Paul, let me ask you a question. I mean, we didn't. Yeah. Nobody's giving up here. But let me ask you a question. Yeah. Number one, why does it sound like it? Because we're telling the truth? I mean, what should we say, Paul?
Well,
should we say the offensive line was great and that Cade's timing is fine? I mean, what do you want, man?
I'm not saying that, but I'm just telling you, it seemed like maybe it's not y'all, but a lot of people I know and a lot of people on social media I've talked to, you know, it's just about, you know, kicking little skies falling. But
listen, I would agree with you on Troy. I agree with you that Troy gets up. I do agree. Yeah. I think a lot of teams like that get up to play Clemson. But – you've been a fan of Clemson for a long, long time. Is it acceptable to you that your team does not apparently respond to coaching at all in the first half? And the reason that I say that is because they sure responded in the second half after they got their butts chewed at halftime. I don't think ever should be acceptable, no matter what your opponent's expectation is, to not respond to the plays and to the coaching that you've been given. I don't think that's ever okay.
Yeah, can I ask you this, though? Did you not some way think maybe a letdown after a big look at LSU? I mean, they struggled against Louisiana Tech.
Absolutely.
But didn't you think
they were leading at the half?
Letdown?
Yeah.
I mean, my thing is, there's a difference between being a letdown and being down 13 at the half and being down 16 in the first half at home. That to me, those are different. Yeah, most people expected Clemson to struggle to execute in this game, and probably you're going to have a stripped down game plan. But being down 13, this Troy team's going to go like 4-8, y'all. This is not a very good Troy team, and they should not have been leading at the half by 13. In 2011, they got booed off the field. They were down 3 at the half, and they went about 24. And that was a 3-win Troy team. So
yeah, I remember that, but the guy got up, and he never come back, be honest with you. I don't know if he just had seats from somebody or the ticket or not. He said, we got nothing but a high school coach for a coach, and I'm not never coming back. And I've never seen him to this day, so I don't know. I guess he was ashamed of what he said. But anyway, I apologize if I said y'all said that, but they are a lot of people kind of giving up on them. Thinking about the booing, somebody mentioned that this morning, I guess it's a different era now because you're getting paid. You're almost like pros, and there's a lot of people booing. But I think once some of the money these big players we got is making and they're not performing, I guess it's all right in this era to boo them. Anyway, guys, thank you. Appreciate y'all so much.
Thanks very much, Paul. Appreciate the phone call.
I think of a lot of examples. In 2016, you had a big letdown loss to Pitt at home, and you respond by going to Wake Forest and beating a really good Wake Forest team that year, 35-13, and then destroyed South Carolina 56-7, and going to win a national championship. I mean, that's the way great teams bounce back from disappointing losses by killing the guy the next week.
That's exactly right. More on this. We'll go back to the phones. Hour one is done. Hour two is next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
No one wants it to happen to them, but unfortunately, chances are good that at some point, it'll happen to you. Roof troubles. It's one of the most important parts of your biggest investment. So when you need repairs or a new installation, you need someone who you can trust to get the job done right. You need Joe Robertson and Son Roofing.
As a family-owned and operated roofing company since 1965, Joe Robertson and Son have built a reputation for quality craftsmanship. It's why thousands of upstate home and business owners have chosen them for their roofing needs. Beyond providing quality work they're proud to stand by, Joe Robertson and Son Roofing also takes a client-first approach to their job. That means quality roofing, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. Put it all together, and it's easy to see why they're the upstate's premier roofing provider.
You can't cut corners.